First Chronicles 29, verse 11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. I want us to consider for a few minutes this evening the title, Why We Ought to Worship God. Worship is one of the greatest blessings that we have, one of the greatest privileges that we have, one of the things that is necessary for us spiritually, something that all of us ought to want to do. And there are a lot of people that say they worship God, but they do not worship God according to how He directs us to worship. Well, what is worship? When we look at the definition, it means to honor, reverence, homage in thought, feeling, or act. The principal Old Testament word means to bow down, to prostrate, as in the illustration I'm using this evening. The New Testament word means to kiss the hand or the ground toward. Hence, often in the Oriental fashion, bowing prostrate on the ground. It's recognizing someone greater than we are and bowing to their greatness. And there's no more beautiful picture than true worship. So worship is to serve or do homage, to do reverence. It involves a feeling of awe. We just are in awe of coming before God. And religion involves a personal relationship between an individual and God. And again, we have to go to God's commandments in order to understand this, what is acceptable to Him. And if we do not do what He commands us to do, if we do not do what He commands us to do with all our heart, then our relationship with Him cannot be what it ought to be. We live in a very selfish, materialistic society, and religion is often neglected. So many people don't attend services anywhere at all. But we see a trend, we've seen a trend in the last number of years of people coming together and to worship less and less. And as I was working on this sermon, I was thinking of an illustration with a marathon runner, someone that wants to run a marathon. And then with the announcement on Gary, I thought that was interesting that he's setting a goal to walk a mile. Now, when he is setting a goal to walk a mile now after his surgery, is he going to do that the first day? No, he's going to do more and more and more to build up to that. Someone that wants to run a marathon, and people that run marathons, the ones I know, they love to run. They love to run. So when they practice training for a marathon, are they just going to run around the block once and say, boy, that was really good? Or maybe do it a couple times and, boy, I'm ready now. No, they are going to want to run and run and run and run to prepare for that marathon. Now, when we say we want to go to heaven, how are we to worship God for time without end? How are we preparing to do that? Are we saying, well, I worshiped Him a few minutes today. That's enough. Or do we want to look for every opportunity that we can have to come together? We see that there is the importance of worship spelled out back from the beginning in the Bible. One of the first things mentioned in the Bible is the worship of Cain and Abel. When we come to Noah, the first thing Noah did when he left the ark was to build an altar unto the Lord and worship Him. Wise men went to worship Jesus when He was born. Please turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 5, and I want to read a bit there. And I think it goes along well with the passage I just read in 2 Chronicles. But in Revelation chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, I saw then in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside, and on the back sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open it and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sing a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and you have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Friends, this is the glorious throne worship scene. This is what we should say and feel and want to do. We should want to be around that throne worshiping God. Why? Because he is worthy. He is worthy. So let's look at a few reasons this evening of why we ought to worship God. There are several reasons, but we want to worship him because he's worthy of all praise, as I just read in Revelation chapter 5. Along with that, in Psalm 29 and verse 2, "Give unto the Lord the glory, due his name." So this is owed to him. It's due to him. It's like when we have money that we owe somebody, we give it to them because it is due to them. "Give unto the Lord the glory, due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Psalm 95, 6. "O come, let us worship and bow down." Again, going back to our definition, that acknowledging that God is greater than we are. "Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." Why should we ought to worship? We ought to worship because God wants us to. He wants us to worship him. He created us to worship him. He tells us to worship him. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10, "Then Jesus said to him," speaking of Satan, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Now some people say they don't like to worship. Friends, God created us to worship. He created that desire within us to worship. The problem is, a lot of people, they worship something other than God. They worship themselves. They worship some idol. They worship their job. They worship money. They worship fame. But God has created within us the need to worship, the desire to worship, and the only way that we can have a satisfying life is to fulfill that desire that He created and to worship Him. It is written, "You shall worship the Lord your God, Him only shall you serve." We see many people worshiping and serving so many other things. We see them worshiping religious leaders. We see them worshiping men, elevating them up to worship. But we are to worship God and God only. The early disciples, they continued steadfastly in the breaking of bread and prayers and teaching. That's worship. That's worship, Acts 2:42. If you want to study more about worship, you can go to the 1 Corinthians, the letter to the Corinthians, and you can find in that letter all the acts of worship described and talked about. 1 Corinthians. Ephesians 2:1-10, as our Maker, God deserves our praise and adoration. So there are a lot of passages that tell us we need to worship. And we are also instructed not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And what is that assembling? It's coming together to worship God. And if we don't come together to worship God, we aren't following what God has revealed to us to do. Now, we understand there are times when some people are sick or for this reason or that reason cannot make it. But some people, they look for ways and excuses not to come. And you think about that. Our Creator, every breath we have, we depend on God for that. Everything that keeps us alive, we depend on God. And people say, "I don't have the time to worship Him." They want, but they will have time to worship something else. Why ought we to worship God? To express the feeling of our souls. And you can see what's in somebody's soul, again, by what they say, by what they do. And you see, some people are empty. They are empty. They have nothing to bring forth because they have not put anything in. Is our soul filled with praise? Is it filled with thanksgiving? Is it filled with appreciation for everything that God has done for us? Or are we thinking about what are we going to do next when we leave here? What's going to be on TV tonight? What are we going to eat when we get home? Where are we going to go? And we say that we want to spend time without end in the presence of God, worshiping Him. Many of the Psalms show the disposition of a devout person, David, and we can profit from some of the things that he was thinking about worship. Psalm 25:6-8, "Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me, for your goodness sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he teaches sinners in the way." Why ought we to worship God? We should worship Him because of His tender mercies and His loving kindness. What do I deserve? I deserve death. We all deserve death. We all deserve spiritual death. But because of God's tender mercies and His loving kindness and His grace and His mercy, He has made it possible that we can be forgiven of those sins. He will not remember those sins that we have committed, those transgressions that we have committed. And when we consider, He will not hold those against us, And again, he has no need or obligation to be compassionate toward us. He's God. But because of what he has done for us, he deserves our worship, our wholehearted worship. Psalm 95, 6 and 7. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Again, in the Psalms and throughout the Bible, you see God described through so many relationships, a husband, a wife, a father, a son, a shepherd, a sheep, and that shepherd is going to care for his sheep, going to watch over his sheep, protect him. He is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. We ought to worship him because of that. Do we have something better to do? What do we have that's better to do than to worship God? And to be, I don't want to say to be fair is the right word, but to understand, some people have never heard things like this. All they have heard, they may not have heard anything about worshiping God. So their concept of God is whatever somebody told them. Somebody might have told them, go to church on Christmas and Easter, and they think that's worship. But friend, that is not what the Bible describes as worship. Then, so you have some people that have not read what worship is or why we should worship. You have some people that come up with their own system and type of worship. You see these praise bands today, these worship teams, senior worship leader, assistant worship leader. They make up any kind of name and tack it on. And a lot of it is not worshiping God. It's just entertainment. And sometimes, and don't misunderstand, we are all worshiping. Sometimes they will look to the preacher as what the worship is. I can only worship for myself. I can't worship for you. You can't worship for me. And some people will judge a worship service on whether or not they liked what the preacher said or didn't say. And that's not worship. It's what we as individuals come and bow down and offer up to our God. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before our Lord and Maker. Well, why ought we to worship with God? To express the feeling of our souls. I think I got something out of line here. We ought to express, we ought to worship God, to commune with God. So the very nature of worship demands an expression in acts that involve a personal relation. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And when we commune with God, what does that mean, commune? It means having something in common. It's a partnership. It's a fellowship. And we want to have fellowship with God. We want to have a partnership with God. We want to have something in common with God. And we want, not just want that, but we express that. And how do we express that? We express that in acts that he has described to us. So one of the acts that we express our worship is singing. He's told us to sing and make melody in our heart. We're to teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So what about if we sing, but we have a band? Are we worshiping God? We aren't worshiping God. Because see, that's not following his word. That's adding something to it. If we truly respect and worship God, we aren't going to add to what he says. We are going to show our worship by expressing and doing those things that he tells us to do. He tells us to take of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. What if we take it Saturday night? A lot of places do it for Saturday night. That's not worship. It's not worship. There's no authority for that. And again, they do places that do that often do it out of convenience so that they can ignore the first day of the week and what God has directed us to do to worship him on the first day of the week. So with worship too, that brings in another point. There are things we do collectively and there are things that we do individually. So what we are doing today is what God has directed us to do on the first day of the week. Again, man has come up with his own list, his own inventions of how he wants to worship God. He can offer that worship to God, but it's not going to go any higher than the ceiling. God is not going to accept it. God's people are his children. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And 2 Corinthians 6:17-18 says, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. We worship God because we want communion with him. We want that father-child relationship. We want to enjoy that love from our Father, that protection from our Father, the blessings from our Father. John tells us in 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Do we deserve to be called children of God? Not at all. But that's the love that the Father has bestowed on us. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we shall know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. It's natural for a father and son to commune together. And worship is an extension of that that natural communion between a parent and a son. And when it talks about Christ coming and us seeing him again, we understand that. It's easy to understand with a physical relative. Someone's gone, they may have to go on a work-related trip, they may be in the military, they may be gone a distance and for a time, they may be going here or there, and you're looking for him to come back, and you're waiting, you're longing for him to come back. It should be that way in a congregation also. When someone goes away, we look for them, we long for them to come back. But you think about Christ, he has gone away, but he is coming back. Are we looking for him? Are we anticipating him? I can't wait till Christ comes back. Well, what are we going to do when he comes back? We're going to worship him. We're going to worship him. Not ourselves. We're going to bow down and worship him for time without end. And when we see everything that's going on out there in the world that's crazy, things years ago we wouldn't believe are happening now, as each of us gets older and our bodies are wearing down, this world holds less attraction to stay here. Do I want to live in this craziness and deal with the aches and pains, or do I want to go home and be with the Lord? Well, what are we going to do? When we go home, we aren't going to do whatever we come up with. We're going to go home to worship him. And again, Are we developing that desire by the worship that we are doing each day, by the worship that we are doing on the first day of the week, by the worship that we are doing as He has instructed us to do, so that when He returns or we die, it'll be like we never skipped a beat. We're just going to keep on worshiping Him, loving Him. You know, the songs this evening were beautiful. They were beautiful this morning too, but you can feel a communion with each other here as we're singing these songs of praise to God and thinking of the words. And it is, as I said at the beginning, it's one of the most beautiful things that we can do, to have this communion with God. It's not just communion or fellowship with some man. It's communion with the God Almighty that created everything, that spoke the world into existence, that gives us life. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. So since we have this love, we know what God has done for us, we need to live a pure life so that we can be acceptable in His sight. So why ought we to worship God? To praise God. To praise God. Whenever Christians meet to express their praise, they are giving a sacrifice of their lips. Hebrews 13:15, through Him let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of the lips, which makes confession to His name. So again, sacrifices are nothing new. And we've talked about in the Old Testament, they had animal sacrifices. We don't have animal sacrifices today that we offer up to God. But here is one of the sacrifices that we have. The praise of our lips, the fruit of our lips. When we pray to God, that's offering up a sacrifice to Him. When we sing these songs, that's offering up a sacrifice to Him. If one is cheerful, he can express his praise. If he is suffering, he can pray. Praying and singing, these are sacrifices that we offer up to God. How much you think about in the Old Testament, all the sacrifices that they had to offer over and over and over for their sins. Where did they get those sacrifices? We would say that came out of their back pocket. If they didn't have the animal themselves, they would have to buy the animal. They had, like we would say, some skin in the game. They had to give up something that they had. And they wouldn't go out and, well, this one looks like it's about ready to die. Although that's what they were accused of doing in the book of Malachi, when he said, offer this to your governor and see how he treats you. They had to give up the best that they had on their sacrifices. You know, I could keep this cow, this calf, this goat, this heifer. Oh, I could make so much money with this. No, that's the one that God wanted them to give up. The perfect one, the best one. And we offer up, and when we offer up sacrifices today, we need to keep that in mind. We need to offer up the best sacrifices that we can. Why we ought to worship God? To prepare us to worship Him for time without end. Again, going back to Acts chapter 2, we know that we are to assemble on the first day of the week. We know that the church at Jerusalem continued with each other daily, on a daily basis. Jesus taught daily, Matthew 26. And you stop and think about this again. If here in this world we prepare something that's important to us, we prepare and do more and more and more and more and more of what's important to us. Gary walking a mile, he's going to walk more each day. more and more and more to build up to his goal. A marathon runner, they're going to run more and more and more and more because they can't wait to run that marathon. They want to be ready. So we're going to worship for time without end. What are we going to do? Are we going to worship? Want to worship more and more and more and more and sing to God more and pray to God more and do his will more? Or are we going to say, what's the least amount that I can do and get by? And that's sad. That's sad, but that's the way a lot of people think. We need to prepare now to worship him for time without end. I don't like to think about other people and think this or that about them, but sometimes it's hard to not think. I wonder what it would be like if this person makes it to heaven when I see how they respond in a worship assembly. If they have an attitude where they don't care, they don't want to contribute, they come and go whenever or show up late. Is God going to be happy with that? No. No. And he has taught us over and over and over. So it does not make sense to say that you worship the Lord all Sunday because you love him, but that you have no love for him on the other days. When tomorrow rolls around, are we going to give God the honor and glory due his name? Is he going to be in the front of our minds? Or are we going to say, well, I worshiped him yesterday, I'm going to think about myself today, and I've got this to do and this and that. Friends, we've got to prepare ourselves to worship God. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. Friends, I can't wait to get to heaven. And I'm looking forward to worshiping God in heaven. And I hope you are too. But it all starts right here. It all starts today. And it starts with being a child of God. If there's anyone here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.